What is going on, everyone? It's a very special ad-free show's presentation, a preview show for AEW Full Gear coming to you tonight from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where I am right now as we record this. I'm John Alba, of course, joined by Lauren Yaffe, ad-free show's royalty. Lauren Yaffe, how are you, my dear?
I am so well, John, and what an introduction. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here and a little envious. Tell me what the energy is like over there in Minneapolis.
I'll tell you what, it's cold. That's what the energy is like. Now, I lived 3 years in Maine. Maine was freezing. Maine sucked when it came to weather. There was 1 year from December 15th to January 15th and never got above a single degree. And then I moved down to Orlando, and Orlando is Florida weather. And then back up here to Minneapolis, it's culture shock again for me. I'm not going through change as well here, Lauren.
I am sorry to hear that. It was 70 degrees here in Metro Atlanta today, but I hear we're going to be frozen out the rest of the weekend. I am definitely looking forward to that, and also looking forward to these matches coming our way courtesy AEW this weekend.
Oh yeah, AEW Full Gear, a very highly anticipated pay-per-view coming on the heels of All Out back in September, which many believe was one of the greatest pro wrestling pay-per-views of the modern era. So that was on the back end of Top Guy weekend. Lots of fond memories for you, I'm sure. And you got to imagine that we're getting the pieces together for this coming year's Top Guy weekend already.
I can't wait. I know that those announcements are going to be coming sooner than you guys think. So stay tuned to adfreeshows.com. And if you're not a Top Guy, I recommend getting in there. You're going to want to be at Top Guy weekend. It'll be epic.
Yeah. And if anything, you get to do some cool Zooms with Lauren and some other great programming that the top guys and top gals get access to. Adfreeshows.com. But we are coming to you today, as I said, to preview AEW Full Gear. We're trying to do more of this stuff here on adfreeshows.com. And it's going to be a very, very packed show. And let's get right to it. Why don't we, Lauren? Our kickoff match, the buy-in, Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose, taking the individual opponents in the AEW TBS Championship Tournament. These are four women who have been prominently featured on AEW programming as they've looked to enhance their women's division. Who has stood out from the four of these for you as of late, and how do you see this one unfolding?
Absolutely, the standout for me is Thunder Rosa, and I do not see her losing a pre-show match. I think that that's the way this one ends. Thunder Rosa comes out on top as per usual, and you know, that's just the way that I see it. What say you?
So I look at this in a few different ways, where Thunder Rosa seems to be the perennial star of AEW Dark. She's had a lot of opportunities on these buy-in cards, and she's someone that is more than featured on Dynamite, but they're doing this weird balancing act right now where you're keeping the individuals in the tournament showcased in a way while also not furthering the tournament, because they're trying to get to the finish line there as they get ready to debut on TBS this coming January. I've really liked the miniature story that they have been building with both of these feuds, actually. And we record this here on Friday night before Rampage. So apologies if anything is outdated at that point. But I thought on Dynamite this past week, the individual matchup between Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter was really well built to that crossbody that Thunder Rosa did on the outside to Jamie Hayter that looked like it just absolutely sucked to take if you're Jamie Hayter. I thought that was an interesting little way to dig a wedge and continue building here, as we saw what they did as well with Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose with the whole beatdown a few weeks ago on Dynamite. I think I'm going with the baby faces here. It's a good way to start a pay-per-view out, getting people to entice to buy in. You give the babyface a win. And like you said, Thunder Rosa is the top gal right now in AEW, even if she's not the title holder, it feels like.
There you have it, folks. I think we're on the same page with this one.
What are your thoughts on where AEW can take the women's division? Because that's a hot topic of conversation right now, Lauren. It was just this past week on the AEW media call with Tony Khan where things got a little testy, and Tony Khan actually ended up apologizing about it, where he was essentially taking credit for financing the NWA Empower show when he was asked about, will AEW ever do a women's pay-per-view? What do you think is the next logical step for the women's division, and how does the TBS championship maybe fit into that fold?
You know, in terms of an entire pay-per-view dedicated only to women's matches with AEW, I don't think the roster is there just yet. And I think they maybe could be. Maybe it just takes a little bit more exposure and development and it gets there eventually. That could be fun to watch. I do think that, and we'll get into this a little bit later in our conversation, John, but the Britt Baker reign, I think, is definitely leaving an impression on the wrestling community in a big way. And so it's interesting to see her role in all of this play out and some of the things that she's doing to bring eyeballs to women's wrestling right now. So good for her on that. And just looking forward to seeing how it continues to grow and develop. I definitely think that there is obviously a lot of room for growth and development on that front, but this is a new company, and for them to be doing, in my opinion, as well as they are, it's, you know, maybe time to start taking a look at some of those things that were not first priority right from the jump, but are still important to the viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. And I think that some of the criticism that say, oh, well, they're not ready for a all-woman show yet. Maybe the division isn't quite there yet in terms of, and I don't know if it's a talent thing. I think it's more in an investment of time thing, right? Like where we've slowly started to see more women featured on Dynamite week in and week out, and Rampage allows for them to do that as well. But I don't think that it's reached the point yet where, like, think back when WWE did the Evolution show a few years ago. That was right on the heels of this whole movement of, we're going to really start pushing these women in these main event segments consistently. We're going to feature them in higher profile matches. That built up to that, whereas we haven't quite seen that yet from AEW, but maybe the TBS Championship Tournament can help get us there. So you brought up Britt Baker. So let's talk about Britt Baker. Britt Baker, Ty Conti are going to be fighting for the AEW Women's Championship on this main card. A feud that started over whose butt was bigger. And I wish I was joking about that, but that's quite literally how it started after Conti became the number one contender. Britt Baker is certainly one of the more well-rounded performers right now in AEW. What do you make of this one?
Well, when you say well-rounded, are you referring to that butt we were arguing
about? I'm not making any comments on that. I have learned.
Have lovely behinds. I am here to let you know. Both winners, ladies. Let's build each other up. Now, John, going back to your previous comments too about women being a little bit more prominent in AEW, I do want to point out Britt Baker's main events in AEW. Those have been, I think, a catalyst to moving the women wrestling forward.
She's been huge for that.
Absolutely. I do want to commend AEW for taking those steps in that direction. So good news. This is going to be Britt's fifth title defense in about 6 months, right? So she's been busy. She's worked hard to retain that title. I think she keeps it again this weekend. I hate to say it, but I think she's an excellent champion. I don't think her time has expired just yet. And for Ty Conti, to me, this looks a little similar to one Hangman Adam Page just a couple of years ago, having this opportunity that maybe she's not quite ready for, but maybe a little foreshadowing for what could be to come for
her. Do you view this as somewhat of a litmus test for her to see if she can hang in this spot? Because this is certainly her highest profile match that she's had in AEW so far.
It absolutely is her highest profile match. And, you know, if it is a litmus test, I think it's a good one. And I think she'll be up for the challenge. I think Britt Baker is going to give her a really good match. And I think she will give Britt Baker a good match as well. But I do see the DMD retaining this weekend.
Conti's a really interesting case because she was one of those that in the WWE system, the NXT system, something wasn't clicking. It wasn't there. Maybe it was how she was being coached. Maybe it was the parameters that were put on her, but she makes the jump over to AEW. Tony Khan talked about this in the media call where he was really surprised that she was released from NXT and he immediately wanted to grab her because he saw something in her. And then when you take some of those reins off and you give her a little more room to be herself, she really comes out into her own. And I think she's been a great performer for that company. And this is a huge match for her. With that said, I don't see Britt Baker losing this championship. I think the long play is still Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa eventually feuding for that championship once again, and Thunder Rosa getting the comeuppance after all this build. Because even as they've been having different feuds, they're still kind of intertwined with one another, like throughout all this. And like we saw it on Dynamite this week, like in the six-person tag, like they're still kind of intertwined. And I think that's the end game that you want to play, maybe at Double or Nothing. So I don't think it's time to take it off Britt yet. I'm going with DMD as well. I can tell you this, she'll be very popular in that arena in Minneapolis because
I don't doubt it. Looking forward to hearing about it.
Your pal Tony Schiavone cheering her on from the commentary booth. Perhaps a little biased. I don't know. Some may say, but
never.
So I'll ask you this, and you can take us where you want to go next here. What match do you think is going to open this show? Because I've got my thoughts on what match I believe will. What do you think, Will?
That's a good question. I think they're going to have to start out strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe it's the Lucha Bros.
That's exactly what I think they're opening the show with, too. And that's what I was going to tee you up on. Lucha Bros versus FTR. I am so excited for this match.
Exciting one. Absolutely. The tag team championships up for grabs once again. We got FTR, great friends of adfreeshows.com, and the Lucha Bros. What you got on this one, John?
I'll tell you what, Lauren. I tweeted this out the other day. Conrad even retweeted it. I think that Dax Harwood is maybe the most underrated performer of 2021 in all pro wrestling. I think this guy is so talented in every little thing that he does. Obviously in tag action, he's great. We know how awesome he is. He's so good at getting heat on the outside. Even when he's not in the match, when he's just on the apron, it's the consequence and the result of studying all these great tag teams over the years and just being a student of the game and how he engages the crowd. And crowds love him, but they also love to hate him. And that's what makes him so good. And obviously Dash is great too, and all that, but Cash Wheeler, I should say. But I am so excited for this match. I think the Lucha Brothers are on the top of their game right now. They're both healthy. FTR is healthy. I wouldn't make a title change here. I don't think the Lucha Brothers have had a long enough reign. Plus, FTR just picked up the AAA belts from them as well. I suspect we're going to see a totally different side of FTR here, where they try to play the ground game with Lucha Brothers, then Lucha Brothers bring out another side of them. What do you think?
I think you're right. We really have two different styles of wrestling competing in this match. We have the high-flying Lucha style and, of course, that classic old-school tag team wrestling that we love to see with FTR. Is it just me? Am I biased? Do I just love FTR? I think no, everyone loves FTR.
I have not enjoyed watching a single act in pro wrestling more than FTR this year. They are a generational tag team. No doubt about it.
Absolutely agree with you on that. They are ones, I will not change the channel, even if it's picture in picture. I am a mark for FTR and not ashamed to admit it. That being said, I think they're best kept on ice for now. Let's continue to see how these stories play out in other ways, especially, I think, as you said, with the Lucha Bros, not having those titles for quite long enough, in my opinion. I think we have some story building to do there before they drop those at some point. As you recall, the Lucha Bros defeated the Young Bucks to win these just as recently as the All Out pay-per-view. So it's just not been very long.
One of the greatest live matches I've ever seen in person.
Absolutely agree.
And easily the greatest cage match I've ever seen in person. And that's where I felt the Lucha Brothers kind of channeled another level of storytelling in their matches. So that's why with FTR pays so much attention to those little things in storytelling. And that's why I think you pair these two together, it's going to make for a very special match. And I'm really excited to see the dynamic of it. I think it's going to be different. It's going to be different than what we saw when FTR were playing the Luchadors. So because they weren't being themselves, obviously. So just something to take note of there. How about we move on to Darby Allin and MJF, two of the four pillars here, Lauren. These are two guys who are going to be around in AEW for many, many years to come, regardless of what MJF likes to tell TMZ. So this has been a fun build, I think. Really strong promo work on both sides. The visual element of Darby Allin's promos combined with MJF's mic work, obviously. Sting adding a nice element to this, as he typically does with Darby Allin. Who do you got here?
You know, this is one of those classic face heel matchups, and I think, just to be as unbiased as possible, I think that Darby Allin benefits a lot more from the push than it's going to hurt MJF to lose this match. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes to play, and I don't know if I'm willing to call the match just yet. But I do want to put in that little fun fact that from my perspective, Darby Allin stands to gain a lot more than MJF stands to lose.
Darby Allin has a lot more to gain than MJF has to lose. Yeah. Interesting. Well, they're kind of telling this story on the side too with Wardlow, which is really interesting, where he's kind of teasing, maybe going a little babyface here. They've had Sean Spears intertwined in this feud as well. I think MJF is going to sneak one out here. I think maybe a low blow crotches him or something like that into a roll up. I think something along those lines is where this match goes, because MJF actually hasn't really won too many big matches as of late. He's lost a lot of his bigger matches. So give him a pay-per-view win. Darby Allin kind of has that Jeff Hardy syndrome where beating him is not going to hurt him right now, in my opinion. I know you believe that he has more to gain, but I don't think Darby Allin loses steam if he loses to MJF, especially if MJF cheats to win.
I absolutely do not disagree with you on that. And like I said, this is just one that I'm not quite ready to call yet, but you do bring up some valid points, some good points, especially in that MJF hasn't won any big ones lately. Good point.
Yeah, you know, he had the match with Chris Jericho that they did the dusty finish with, and then he ended up losing clean on that front. So I think you give him a little something here. He doesn't have to win clean over Darby Allin. I wouldn't have him win clean, quite frankly. I'd do something along the lines of a roll-up or a low blow or something that the ref doesn't see to give him a little bit of that heat. And you know those people in Minneapolis aren't going to be feeling MJF too much here, Lauren.
You are absolutely right about that. And, you know, if he wins in a way, you know, he cheated to get there. He would, obviously, he's a great heel. So, you know, lie, cheat, steal, whatever it takes. I would actually not mind seeing that. And I think it helps to get Darby over in a way to lose a match in a dishonest fashion.
Sure. And you can always, you can run it back too, you know, so that always gives you another route to go along with that. And, you know, it's all about the chase, whether it's a chase of a title or a chase of a dastardly heel. It's all about the chase at the end of the day. That's kind of what this pay-per-view is about. There's a lot of chasing going on. Both Bryan Danielson and Miro are chasing that number one contender spot for the AEW World Championship. This was likely going to be Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley, but Jon Moxley taking a leave of absence to take care of a personal health situation with alcohol, and wishing him all the best as he takes on that endeavor. But it's left us with what should be a really fun styles clash, I believe, between Bryan Danielson and Miro. What do you think about this one?
I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. I absolutely agree. The styles are going to mesh pretty well and give us a lot of interesting, exciting things to talk about at the end of this match. I think this is an easy call. It has to be Danielson. And logically for me, it's just because Miro wasn't even supposed to be in this match. I think this was already set up and booked in a way that Bryan Danielson takes this match. What do you think?
So I'm really split on this, and I'll tell you why.
Let's hear it.
Because I think this correlates directly with whoever is winning the championship at the end of this show. Truthfully, I don't love either of these opponents for Hangman Page as champion if Hangman Page wins the championship at the end of the night. And here's why. I think Bryan Danielson would step into a little too much of Hangman's shadow there in Hangman's first defense as champion. Mm. Like Hangman's first defense as champion, in my opinion, should be against a really strong established heel. Because if Bryan Danielson is taking away some of that fanfare from Hangman, and AEW fans are pretty good where they're not going to turn on Hangman, but they're very much going to be cheering Bryan Danielson. I don't know how effective that is unless Bryan Danielson were to do the job for Hangman Page, and that's a huge endorsement for Hangman Page. So that would be a plus on that front. Mm-hmm. On the Miro side, Miro has a lot of heat, and that's good, but Miro also is not an established top guy yet in AEW. He's kind of like right underneath that. But I also draw a parallel to think back a year ago when Jon Moxley faced Brody Lee. Brody Lee was kind of in that same realm of Miro, right? Like, not sure if he's main event guy, but he might be. He's got the talent to be, but he also might not be. And he rose to the occasion. So if this is Miro, then sure. I mean, Miro is a good challenger in terms of getting a good match. I just don't know if the amount of heat would be there. I think at the end of the day, this was supposed to be for Jon Moxley. I think Jon Moxley and Hangman Page was supposed to be the match after all said and done. So you know what? I'm feeling a little frisky here, Lauren. Let's make a hashtag bold prediction. I'm going with Miro here. Maybe there's some tomfoolery. Maybe he makes Brian pass out. Brian doesn't tap out. I don't know. But I'm going to say Miro, and they just go with a big bad heel against this hot baby face as champion. But unless, what if Kenny Omega wins in later in the night? Then you can do Brian again, right?
This is all so fun to fantasy book this with you, John. I do want to ask you though, do you think we're ready to hand Brian Danielson a loss like this on a pay-per-view?
Brian Danielson is not hurt by a loss. Brian Danielson is a wrestling god in the eyes of AEW fans. And if he were to lose, it doesn't in any way hurt him. He is so established and beyond impenetrable that, and has been protected during his run in AEW, that a win for Miro against Bryan Danielson would make Miro. It would make him in a big way. And if you are pushing him into the main event scene, he has to be made in a big way. And beating Bryan Danielson would do that for him. But
you could be right.
I could see Bryan Danielson winning too. I could see Bryan Danielson winning too. Sorry, these are my long preambles. These are my thoughts here. You're watching our little prediction show for AEW Full Gear on adfreeshows.com, on YouTube, AFS on YouTube.com. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Leave a thumbs up. Leave a comment. Tell Lauren how great she is. Tell me how obnoxious my hair looks. Something. I don't care.
Engagement is good. I love your hair, John.
Thank you. You know I put a lot into it. I was traveling.
I wore my makeup 3 times today.
I was traveling to Minneapolis and I checked the bag and they're like, no aerosols, right? I'm like, no, I got aerosols in there. and they're like, well, what is it? And I just whip out this giant can of hairspray, giant can of hairspray. They're like, is that under the legal limit? I'm like, yes. Yes, it is. Okay. I can travel with it. That I know what I'm doing. I'm a
it
pro.
It sounds like you're getting pulled over for a DUI. Are you under the legal limit?
The limit does not exist when it comes to hairspray, Lauren. And on Wednesdays, we wear pink. Okay.
Love it. I love it. The Mean Girls references.
What match you want to talk about next here, Lauren?
Let's jump into CM Punk and Eddie Kingston.
Let's do that. This feud has been awesome.
This feud has been awesome. And it's been short, but it's been long. In some respects, it's been 2 weeks, and in others, it's been 15 years in the making. Where are we going with this? What do you see happening with this one, John?
This feels like a pivot, because I'm not sure this was the original plan for this card, but I'm very happy that if it was a pivot, that this is the pivot they made, because the mic work between these two has been exceptional. Everything feels real between them. They've crossed that line that blurs everything. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a brawl, right? Like, this has to be a brawl. And it's not going to be a finesse kind of match. I think CM Punk wins. But what a great win for Eddie it would be. I think there's some bigger plans for CM Punk to come. I'm just happy. It finally feels like CM Punk, with all due respect to the other people he's had matches with, and Darby was a big deal, but it finally feels like CM Punk has a program he can really sink his teeth into here.
I absolutely agree with you. And as we mentioned, as you know, the story goes as far back as the indies, this AEW build though has been short. I like it. I like, obviously that promo was remarkable. We'll be talking about that one probably for 5 years from now. We'll still be talking about it. I do think this payoff could obviously be much bigger down the road. Talk about hashtag bold predictions. I don't know if this match happens. And
doesn't
I know
that happen, sounds, really?
I know that sounds crazy.
Oh, that would be very bad, Lauren. You don't think it happens?
It almost feels like, as you said, this has been a pivot. What if we say, hold on, we need to pull the reins back a little bit and actually build to this match? I think it could be something crazy where we don't see a clear winner. Maybe the match happens, but there's no clear winner.
I could see a no contest or something like that. A
disqualification,
maybe.
Some crazy thing like that, some kind of postponement for some reason. Yeah. I think we revisit this down the road and allow for this story to build. But if I have to choose for a winner of this match this weekend, another hashtag bold prediction, I'm going with Eddie Kingston on this. And that is not at all what anyone is going to think will happen. I don't even think it'll happen. That's just what I want to see happen, because that's how I feel about this. I think CM Punk came in and he was on fire coming in the door. And I don't know if he's quite as hot, and it hasn't been that long.
Do you think people got tired of the happy to be here CM Punk?
So let's piss him off. Let's have Eddie Kingston beat him in a fantastic fashion on a pay-per-view. I love this. If we have to see this match right now, I want it to play out in such a way that it can continue. The feud can continue.
Sure. To my knowledge, I don't believe AEW has done a no contest finish. I could be wrong, but they've definitely never done one on a major show. They've done like two total disqualifications as a company. So I don't necessarily see that. A no contest would be interesting, where they just beat the piss out of each other and they can't go anymore. Maybe to a draw, maybe something like that. But my gut still says Punk wins, but Eddie winning would be real interesting. I'll tell you that.
I think it would be so much fun. No one sees it coming. And I just like Eddie Kingston. I want him to win.
Everyone does. I think the crowd will be white hot for this match. I'll tell you that. Both guys garner empathy from the crowd, especially Eddie Kingston. And that's what makes Eddie Kingston so likable. You feel with Eddie Kingston. And that's special talent right there. Doesn't come along very often. We got the Inner Circle versus the Men of the Year and American Top Team, Junior Dos Santos, Andre Orlovsky, and Dan Lambert. This is a Minneapolis street fight. It will be chaos. I have been very split on this, Lauren, with this feud. It has been a really long feud. There's no denying that American Top Team gets a lot of heat. So do Men of the Year. Dan Lambert gets some of the most impassionate reactions of anyone in pro wrestling right now. I haven't loved the substance of some of these promos. I think they've crossed the line on a few of them that are just not very passe for pro wrestling these days. What do you think of this? Who comes out on top here?
This is another one that's kind of hard to call for me, but I am going to go with Men of the Year American Top Team on top for this one. I know. You know what? I'm always looking for the unexpected.
Well, keep in mind, on Dynamite this past week, American Top Team said the way they will win this match is Chris Jericho being pinned by Dan Lambert. So you see that happening?
I don't see that happening, okay. But I would love to see that.
Wow.
Wouldn't you love to see that happen? This would be so fun for me.
So this feud, I'm not trying to put myself over here, but this feud reminds me a lot of a feud that I just got done with on the indies, where for 9 months we built to me wrestling a match and I said I was going to pin the main woman that we were feuding with. And it, the way you book the match is you take it right to the point where it looks like it's going to happen. And then the floodgates open and that person gets their comeuppance. It's wrestling booking 101. It's Andy Kaufman booking. I think that's what needs to happen with this match. It should look like Dan Lambert is about to pin Chris Jericho. And then there's some brouhaha and Chris Jericho taps out Dan Lambert. Dan Lambert's tapping out, throwing his head around, his arms around as he gets thrown in the walls of Jericho. That's how you book this match, as far as I'm concerned, with the Inner Circle winning. I mean, what a visual it would be.
Of course it would be. The way that Lambert was brought into this match as kind of accidentally qualifying himself to participate, I just want to see him win. I think
you want to see him win, not get his ass kicked, huh?
I want to see him win. I think, you know what?
You're such a heel. Look at you.
Fighters fighting on his team. Like, this isn't completely outside the realm of possibility.
You're such a heel. Look at you. You're like, yes, compliment. Give me the swarmy white guy just pinning Chris Jericho with one finger. Like,
I love it. I can see that happening.
Yeah. Okay. Chris Jericho doing the job for Dan Lambert. You see that? We'll see. Hey, you know what? Look, Lauren, if you're right on that, I'll give you a signed John Alba trading card if that happens. How about that? Okay.
Absolutely. Put it
on that wall behind you.
And I can do that. I'll frame it up and everything.
And we'll make that happen.
Let me put this in a different way. If the UFC team doesn't win, I don't know if I want anything to do with wrestling anymore.
Rip, but it's wrestling though. Like, it's not UFC. That's the thing. If this was an MMA rules match, or if it was UFC, or if it was Bellator, I'd be in 100% agreement with you, but it's the pro wrestling realm.
Sure. Which is why anything could happen, which is why it's not that hard to believe.
Okay. Okay. I look,
Lambert over Jericho.
I love hearing your predictions. I like you going out on a limb. I think that's good. It's what makes shows like this good. Lauren is our resident heel here on Ad Free Shows.
I love to be the heel. Thank you.
I like that. You're welcome. Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Andrade El Idolo and Malakai Black. This has been a long time brewing, this feud. And they took two feuds and merged them together to get this tag match here. Malakai Black bested Cody twice before Cody got one up on him. Pac and Andrade have gone back and forth. This should be a really good tag match here. Finally feels like the crowd's starting to get back behind Cody a little bit after that stretch of him just mercilessly getting booed.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why do you think the tides have turned for Cody?
You got to talk to your boy, Arn.
You know what? It probably is all about Arn, so we'll go with that. This pairing is a little bit random for me. It has been building for a while with these two feuds, but as you said, we just kind of put these together to have one single match, and I don't know if that's to take up a little less time on the pay-per-view, whatever. I do kind of like Malakai Black and Andrade together moving forward, though. That could be a tag team, I think, in the future, perhaps, and that's why I think they win this match.
Yeah, I would give the heels the win here, too. I don't know what benefits come from the babies winning here. It feels like with the heels winning, you could move one of the two of them onto the TNT title picture, maybe, and coming off with a win over established guys like Pac and Cody, it feels like the way to go. So I would go with the heels here too. Could I see the babies winning? I could. Just, it's the Codyverse. We live in the Codyverse, and anything is possible in the Codyverse. I can tell you this, you head over to boxofgimmicks.com, you go get that Arn shirt, that Godfather Arn shirt. That's like hot seller right now. Get the Glock, Lauren.
Absolutely.
That's where you want to be. I'm going with the heels here as well. I like Malakai Black's presentation a lot. Maybe they introduce a new member of the House of Black. They've certainly been teasing that. And Tony Khan has teased that anything can happen here in AEW. Guys can come in, and he even made an interesting line on the media call about, with Ring of Honor closing up shop here, or at least going on hiatus, that maybe you could see some names hop over from there. So things could be pretty interesting. When guys come in, the first thing in AEW, the rule in AEW is you have to feud with Cody. So that's
your initiation into all
elite. That is your initiation, especially if you're a former WWE guy. You must feud with Cody. So maybe a Buddy Matthews here makes his debut or something like that.
Rules are rules.
It's Cody must feud. That's a t-shirt too. I like that.
I like that too.
We got Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus the Super Click in a Falls Count Anywhere 6-man tag team match. So I don't love that we have a street fight and a Falls Count Anywhere match both on this show. That feels like a little bit of overkill for me. How do you feel about that?
It does feel like a lot, especially because I really expect the super match of the evening to be that Lucha Brothers and FTR match anyway. So we're kind of pulling out all the stops for these other matches. I don't know if they're necessary, but here they are. It's a Falls Count Anywhere. It could be fun, could be crazy being in the audience for those. I don't envy you on that one. It's a little bit more difficult to follow in person, but I will enjoy watching it from the comfort of my sofa.
This feud has been going for a really long time, dating back literally to All Out. This feud has been going when Adam Cole super kicked Jungle Boy. I don't need to see it anymore after this. This can be the blow off of it. I go two ways with this. One, I say, well, Adam Cole and the Super Click could certainly have a win here with Adam Cole being treated as a top guy rising. Or this is a good chance to give Jungle Boy a really big, much needed win, which I think would be a much better story to tell. And I would use this show instead as a way to tell the story of the beginning of the downfall of the Elite. So that's why I'm going with Jurassic Express and Christian, with specifically Jungle Boy picking up the win.
Look, you must be reading my notes, because this is what I wrote verbatim. Love to see Jungle Boy take a win here, but I don't know if I see Adam Cole taking a loss just yet. For me, I think Superclick wins this one, further cementing their heel status. I just think it's the way to go. Adam Cole is still relatively new here. And, you know, Jungle Boy, he's not going anywhere. I don't think the loss hurts him. I do think a push definitely could be good for him. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how this one goes.
See, I think with Jungle Boy, Lauren, while a loss wouldn't necessarily hurt him, I think it's about time that we start treating him as an actual rising main event, like future main eventer. Like, this guy, he gets a lot of short wins on TV, and that's always good. But we need to see him start getting meaningful wins, because they're telling us he's important. They're telling us he's a future star, and I believe that he is. But he very rarely wins the big match, and it's time for him to finally start winning a big match. So I think this is the perfect opportunity to do it for him.
Timing is everything, and you don't want to sit on that opportunity too long. So maybe you're right. Maybe now's the time for Jungle Boy.
Which brings us to our main event. Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page. This is a story that between the two of them is almost a year and a half in the making. If you count the beginning of the company when Hangman Page was thrust into the main event right away, this is 2.5 years of storytelling here leading up to this match for Hangman Page. I've seen a lot of people, Lauren, saying it feels too soon for this match. And I asked Tony Khan about that on the media call. And I said, why is this the right time? And he fleshed out the whole Hangman Page story really well. Do you feel that this is too soon, or has this climax at the right time for you?
Well, I'd love to hear Tony Khan's comments on that. I definitely do not think that it's too soon. As you just said, this has been playing out for us for about 2 years now. Page lost that title match to Jericho in 2019. So many things have changed in this world since 2019.
A lot.
Life was a different place in 2019. Page has been on a journey. This character has developed. He has grown. He has become someone fans are endeared to very much. Yes,
that's the word right there. Absolutely.
Yes. And I, you know, when fans come to love and appreciate a character, it's almost always a good time to consider making him a champion dollar bills, y'all, right? I think it's time. Besides that, Omega's run has really, in my opinion, been a very long one. And at this point, it's been like half the time that the company has existed, this guy has been the champion. If they continue on with this for a whole lot longer, I fear he kind of becomes a little bit bigger than the brand, unfortunately. I don't know if that's, you know, a true statement to make, but that's just how I feel about it. I also appreciate, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I appreciate that these two were tag team champions together and that fell apart a little bit more recently, but that's a part of Paige's story. And that's a part of the story of this match and this pair up. It's been building for a really long time. And I think it's time to pay that off in a big way for the Cowboy.
You said that you feel like Kenny Omega is in danger of becoming a champion that's bigger than the brand. Maybe that's that a statement like that is reflective of the change in mentality that we've had in pro wrestling because of WWE, where nobody is allowed to be bigger than the brand anymore in WWE. You don't get The Rock anymore. You don't get Steve Austin. I don't think it's a bad thing that someone becomes bigger than the brand, because if someone becomes bigger than the brand, that means they're becoming a superstar. And if you're a superstar, you're going to draw eyes. And that's, I don't view that as a negative thing, but I think if you want to have a valid criticism of the Kenny Omega championship run, maybe that it's been a lot of the same heavy elite interference stuff, like main event after main event. I don't think that's going to be the case in this match. They did have the Don Callis segment this past week on Dynamite, but I don't believe that's going to be the case here. There might be a false finish or something with Don Callis getting laid out by Hangman eventually, but this is the time. This is the moment. Next week, Dynamite is in Hangman Page's hometown. He needs to walk into there as AEW champion. You have to strike when the iron is hot. And the iron was hot earlier this summer, but Hangman took the paternity leave. And then they heated him back up, which is impressive because it's not always easy to heat somebody back up after they cool a little bit. This is a really well-done, nuanced storytelling endeavor by AEW. Like you said, former tag champions. I thought the promo on Dynamite was excellent, where they reminded you of those little things. And the whole story of Hangman Page is that he's a flawed hero. Mm-hmm. He has had doubts. But now, for the first time, after some encouragement from the Dark Order, after finding himself, he doesn't have doubts. He's ready to beat the champion. He's ready to become the champion. He has to become the champion. And he will become the champion.
I think you're right about that. And what a great story that would be. I want to go back to your comments about, you know, the character bigger than the brand and The Rock and Stone Cold. And I want to throw another name into the mix there, The Rock and Steve Austin and Kenny Omega. Is he the guy to overtake and be bigger than the brand? I don't know. I don't know if we're there yet.
Yeah,
I don't think that level of superstar.
I don't think so either. And that's kind of the point that I was making, that I'm not sure anyone in AEW can reach that point right now, because AEW is not a big enough of a brand yet. That's not to say AEW hasn't been successful. AEW has been wildly successful. But when you talk about pro wrestling to someone who knows nothing about pro wrestling, what's the first thing they're going to say? Oh, is that WWE? That's what they're going to say. AEW is not there yet. So I don't think anyone in AEW can reach that point of crossover superstardom yet.
I think if we're looking at this on a level of scale, so yes, WWE is this big and The Rock is this big and AEW is maybe this big, I think it's Britt Baker. If I have to throw that out there, I think it's
Britt Baker can cross over like that?
I don't know about crossing over. I don't know if I see her starring in Disney films in the next couple of years, but I think it will become one of those things where her name is synonymous with the brand, because even when she wasn't yet champion, she really was the face of the women's division.
Interesting. I don't think you'd find anyone complaining about that. I think that would be a great thing if she could become synonymous with that brand, and that would be awesome. I think there's a very real chance we'll never see another big, major, bigger than the brand superstar. Like even Roman Reigns, who I think can be a big time star. Right now, he's not bigger than the WWE brand, you know?
Right.
And part of that is the way the business has changed. And it's also, there aren't nearly as many eyes on it. It's as simple as that. When The Rock and John Cena broke out, millions and millions of people were watching pro wrestling. That's just not the case anymore. We're seeing a very targeted, concentrated audience of about 1.5 to 2 million people that are watching pro wrestling every week. And that's really it. It's, I mean, AEW's had a hard time even sustaining their viewership numbers to what it was with CM Punk when they debuted him, when they reached 1.3, 1.4. So I don't want to turn this into a talk of ratings and viewership, but it's an interesting complex that you bring up. I think the most important thing that comes out of this championship match, Lauren Yaffe, as we wrap things up here, is that Hangman Page becoming champion is the first homegrown, truly homegrown AEW star becoming champion. And that's a big deal.
I think it's time.
I think it's time as well. We'll see what happens here. We're going to have a full range of coverage on adfreeshows.com. I'm going to be busting my ass here in Minnesota to bring you guys some good coverage. So follow along at John Alba on Twitter, at adfreeshows. I've got you. I promise you, I got you. I'm going to be in the post-show press conference. I'm going to be recapping everything. We're going to have a recap show on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lauren, anything else you want to add and throw out there for our top guys and top gals and everyone else watching?
I do. First of all, you said you're going to be busting ass out there. And now I'm curious, you and Britt Baker and Ty Conti, who has the best ass?
I have no acetal disease where, you know, it just back ass, it just straight down, you know? So I hate to disappoint, but I think both ladies got me beat there.
You know, I haven't seen yours, but there's a great, you have nice hair though, and you're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time this weekend. On behalf of all of us at Ad Free Shows, I want to thank you for the work that you're going to be doing to bring us all that exclusive coverage, as you said, at Ad Free Shows and AFS on YouTube.com. Subscribe, like, give us all the good stuff.
That is the place to find all of our great content here. You got to check out adfreeshows.com. You're going to get all these great shows. You're going to get Lauren. You're going to get myself. You're going to get Paul Bromwell. Of course, Conrad Thompson, and our full array of talent that we bring to the table here. We'll see you guys next time here on Ad Free Shows.